This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Jeff Parles will join us, and we will discuss everything that happened Sunday. We'll discuss these games on Monday. As what a great day we have Monday. So we'll break this up into two parts as we usually do. I'm recording part one here before game one of the NLCS, Mets and Dodgers. So we will review that with Jeff. We'll look forward to game two. We'll talk Yankees Guardians as the ALCS is set. We'll talk Jets Bills Monday night as we just have an incredible day. A Columbus day where, man, 4 o'clock Eastern, Mets Dodgers, 8 o'clock or 7:30 Eastern, Yankees Guardians. And then a little after that, Jets and the Bills. What a sports day we have in front of us. But I will start here with the football and I'll get to the Yankees Guardians, my thoughts on that series. And, you know, it's funny, usually, especially this time of the year, all the great college football games, all the NFL, all the baseball, especially doing three shows a week, try to keep these to half hour. I have to like cut stuff out and try to find, you know, what to leave out as opposed to the summer where, you know, during the summer, you're trying to find things to talk about. This time of the year, you're, you know, trying to figure out what to leave out because there's so much content, so many interesting things to discuss. And look, it's still, it was still a ton going on, but this is one of these Sundays. I'll go through every game here just briefly. You try to find, the big themes of the day in this league. The NFL is about upsets and it's about, it's almost like March Madness. It's about upsets and it's about great finishes, buzzer beaters, those kind of games. The games today did not provide you a lot in terms of any of that. I'll just go, I guess, chronological order here. Bears beat the Jags 35-16. Game was never close. Jags kicked the field goal early and the Bears just steamrolled them from there. Lawrence was bad. The Jags just bad on defense. A million penalties. Peterson's going to get himself fired. Now they have another game in London a week from now, a week from Sunday against the Patriots. And boy, look, it's if we're up, we'll be watching it because it's football. But that is going to be a tough on the eyes. You have 2-1-win teams squaring off. And I don't know that they'd fire him in the middle of the London trip because that's just an awkward scenario, but I wouldn't imagine he's around too much longer. This team looks just completely unprepared. Coach that, you know, look, won a Super Bowl not that long ago and was well-regarded. I guess it's, you know, 7 years ago, but was well-regarded around the league, you know, analytically driven, go for it on fourth down, had some good runs with Philly even after the Super Bowl, you know, won a playoff game the next year, got in the playoffs and won a game with Jacksonville. Was in the mix for Coach of the Year a couple years ago. Now the bloom is completely off the rose. Jags are a disaster. I would think they would move on for the coach. Lawrence, that contract is a disaster. And all of a sudden, the Urban Meyer tenure, it's not all on Urban Meyer, I guess. Everyone kind of pointed fingers, oh, Urban Meyer just completely in over his head in the NFL. Maybe he was, but these last couple of years have not been kind to Lawrence and the Jags, and maybe it wasn't all Urban Meyer. The flip side of that, Caleb Williams has played really well here for the Bears. They are 4-2 now after a ho-hum start. You know, they were 1-2. Even the one win against the Titans wasn't impressive. They kind of snuck by the Rams. They bury Carolina. They bury the Jags, and they are 4-2. And this NFC North is no pun intended. This NFC North is a bear because this NFC North is a lot to deal with. When you have the Bears, the Packers, the Lions, and the Vikings, this is not only probably the best division in the league. This is one of the better divisions I can remember in a long time where even like, boy, pick who you think is the worst team in this division. They got a chance to get to 9-10 wins. That is very uncommon in the NFL. All four teams, very formidable. We'll go through the rest of the games here. Texans, Patriots, Texans win, Texans cover. May was okay. Made some plays, made some mistakes. You got a lot of road favorites covering today. A lot of road favorites winning, covering, chalk, bounce back. Texans just dominate this game pretty much start to finish. He had some hopes. If you bet the Patriots, he had some glimmers of hope here and there for a backdoor cover, but it was not to be as the Texans win. They covered. Not much to say about that game. Ravens, Commanders, what you'd expect. Both teams move the ball. Ravens move the ball at will. Commanders are still, they still have a lot to be desired. Defensively, they can move the ball on offense. Not a bad performance if you're Washington. You hung in the game. They got a backdoor. It depends what you got the number at. 6.5. Obviously, Baltimore covers at 7. You got to push. But Baltimore takes care of business and does a good job against the Commanders. And Washington moves to 4-2. Ravens move to 4-2 after an 0-2 start. They are on track to probably, I would think, win that division. Browns-Eagles. This was 10-3 Eagles, and this closed 8-9, depending on where you bet it. This was 10-3 Eagles before the half, Eagles line up for a 57-yard field goal. And the first half line was like 4.5, 5.5, whatever it was. Some places 6, I saw. It gets blocked and run back for a touchdown. We are tied at 10 going into the half. As if you bet the Eagles first half, you're just scratching your head saying, what the hell do I have to do to get a win in this league? Man, you get some bad beats in this league, and that was one of them. Eagles go ahead 20-13. Browns drive, getting Eagles red zone, getting the red zone. They get a fourth and goal, but they get pushed back after a penalty. Fourth and goal from the 13, where, boy, even if you wanted to go for it, you couldn't. Fourth and goal from the 13. They settle for a field goal. Philly picks up a couple first downs, runs out the clock, ends the game, lands 20-16. The Eagles, you know, if you had them in Survivor, if you had them in teasers, those all survive. But the Browns are just a bad team. Watson continues just to embarrass himself. They continue to say they're going to play him. At some point, boy, you got to make a decision. I don't know how you keep running them out there, but just an absolute nightmare here for the Browns in their quarterback scenario. Packers, Cardinals. Packers win 34-13. Packers jump out to an early lead. Cardinals fought back, had some moments. They kind of kicked themselves with turnovers at, shot themselves in the foot with turnovers every time they got within shouting distance. This was a game where I didn't bet it, but I was looking at the over, and I think it was right around 47, 47 and a half, lands at 47. If you had the over, you probably deserved better because both teams moved the ball. Game just kind of died in the second half. Green Bay had a big lead. They took the foot off the gas, and they got a nice win. As I mentioned, the NFC North just continues to impress here as the Packers win the game by 3 touchdowns. Buccaneers Saints was one of the weirder games you're ever going to see. Saints play the backup quarterback Rattler from Oklahoma. He bounced around in college, but he starts. Carr's hurt. Bucs are up 17-0 in the second quarter. Before you can blink, it's 20-17 Saints. If you went for a walk, if you were changing the channels or whatever, you said, how the hell did this happen? There was a punt return. There was a big play for the Saints. But after that, I mean, it was almost like 3 different games because the Bucs end up winning 51-27, poured on a bunch of points late. Just a very, very strange game. A lot of, you know, non-offensive offense, like special teams plays, defensive score. I mean, it was just a weird, weird game. But the Bucs get a big win. The Saints are just about drawing dead here after, you know, we were doing the show a month ago. They were 2-0 and they buried Dallas. Well, the bloom is off the rose there as well, as that team looks like they are headed for another season where they missed the playoffs. Colts, Titans, terrible pick by me. I had the Titans. I continue to lose money with Will Levis. Titans were in control for a decent amount of this game, but boy, Levis is just so bad. I wish there was an app where if I bet on Will Levis, I get some sort of negative reinforcement. I get a shock. I get a punch in the face. I get something because Levis is just unbettable. Spears got hurt right around halftime. They had no passing game. I thought that, they were in decent shape to win the game. They turned Flacco over a couple times. They did a decent job where felt like they were in good shape here to win this game, but the Colts score late. Titans could do nothing on offense when they needed to, and the Colts win the game on the road. If you're the Colts, you have to have a little concern because these receivers got a little life with Flacco. Richardson is just, he's a pitcher that walks the ballpark. Flacco can at least put the ball where he needs to put it. Obviously, he doesn't provide the athleticism that Richardson does, and you pick a guy as high as he did Richardson, you feel like you have to see it through, but my goodness, he's always hurt. He's inaccurate. He's just erratic. Flacco is the steadier player, so I don't know what you do going forward. And it sounds like Richardson was good enough to play, and it's just one of those situations where they probably felt like Flacco gave him a better chance to win, and Flacco does give him a better chance to win, I think. So Colts win 20-17. I had the Titans. Terrible pick. I got to stop picking the Titans. Another terrible pick. I had Broncos +3. Chargers win the game 23-16. This game was not as close as the final score. It was 20-0 Chargers. Chargers were in control throughout. Broncos with a late flurry to get within shouting distance. They were driving to at least give you a backdoor push if you had Denver, but Peyton did what was the smart thing for the team. He down 10, kicked a field goal as soon as he got in a field goal range. Most coaches usually, hey, we'll get the touchdown, then we'll worry about the onside kick after. As soon as he crossed the +30, he kicked the field goal, which doesn't make you happy if you had the +3. They got a couple tries at the onside. Neither was really close. Chargers win a good game here, 23-16. Chargers bounce back as Denver now 3-3. Good win for L.A. there. Steelers, Raiders, and these 4 o'clock games, these later games in the afternoon were just a complete snore. Not much to say about any of them. Steelers, Raiders, Steelers dominated start to finish. Not much of a game. bunch of turnovers. Steelers get back on track after losing a couple in a row. All Steeler fans there in Vegas. Lions, Cowboys, the notable thing for this game, besides the fact that Lions beat them by about 100 points, 47-9 final. Hutchinson, the star defensive lineman for the Lions, looks like he broke his leg. Gruesome injury. Don't watch the replay. It's absolutely, it's tough to watch. His leg just going in different directions. And then the great Ian Rappaport of NFL Network reporting, Aiden Hutchinson is out for the remainder of the game. Yeah, thanks, Ian. We got it. Yeah, we know. He broke his leg in 8 different places. Of course, he's not coming back in the game. Yeah, he's going to be out, Ian. You're on top of it. Keep cashing those paychecks. But the Lions just embarrassed Dallas. Dallas couldn't get a stop. After it was 3-0 Dallas, Dallas was driving early, settled for a field goal, give up a touchdown, get the ball back, threw a pick in the end zone when they were driving again. And boy, it was just not competitive from that point on. Detroit, as the NFC North continues to show out, just buries Dallas. And then Falcons, Panthers. Falcons win 38-20. Game was an absolute snore. So, again, not one of these days where, boy, you just have a bunch of themes. Is this team overrated? Is that team underrated? It was just kind of a ho-hum. Everybody that you thought would win on paper went on to win. Again, not that my picks were great, but just based on the spreads, like all of the favorites pretty much won, pretty much covered, except Philly is a big favorite, won but didn't cover. But a lot of chalk, not a lot of exciting games in the 4 o'clock games. Chargers-Broncos was over right away. Lions-Cowboys wasn't competitive. Falcons-Panthers was okay, but that was like the one competitive game, and even that wasn't exciting. And Detroit was all over Dallas early, so not a ton in terms of, you know, excitement for these games. Next week, you got some games. Next week, you got Vikings-Lions. Vikings laying a point or so, a point and a half at DraftKings. I would wonder if that Hutchinson injury affects things. Texans-Packers is a good game. So you definitely have some better games here coming up. And you have Chiefs-Niners, a Super Bowl rematch. So those are three really good games you could sink your teeth in. We have the crappy London game, Jags-Pats. We have the Thursday night game, Denver-New Orleans. But, hey, we'll have plenty of baseball on at that point. So that will be – I think that's one of those days where the ALCS and the NLCS both have games. So, hey – if you're not into watching the football that night, you got some baseball to watch. So a lot of, a lot going on where you can watch something other than Broncos and the Saints, but good games next week. Like I said, like Lions, Vikings with the chance to take control in that NFC North. Chiefs, Niners is fun. Texans, Packers is fun. So good week coming up. Not much going on this week. Jets, Bills is a good game. We'll talk about that with Parles, and we will talk baseball quickly on the baseball. I'll keep it simple with the Yankees. I would have liked to see, as a Yankee fan, I would like to see them play Detroit with no Scooble until game three. They get Cleveland. Cleveland, you know, waits out Scooble, a couple tough luck hits, and then Lane Thomas hits the long ball grand slam. That being said, Yankees have to beat Cleveland. I know you'd prefer Detroit. This is set up so perfectly for them. They haven't been to the World Series in 15 years. This is basically the AL Central Invitational here, where you play the Royals and you play the winner of Tigers, Guardians. Cleveland's a nice team. They're a cute little team. They got a great closer in Clase. They've got an unbelievable player in Ramirez. Kwan's a scrappy little player. This is a punch and Judy hitting team. They slap the ball all over the place. They got a good bullpen. The Yankees should overpower this team. And the Yankees have beaten this team 3 times in the playoffs. All 3 times they've seen them since 2017. When they beat them in the division series, when they were down 2-0, came back to win 3-2. And the Yankees were actually a pretty big underdog in that series. Beat them in 2020 in the COVID year in the wild card round, and then beat them 2 years ago in the divisional round in game 5, down 2-1, came back to beat them. Yankees should win this series. I mean, do I want to lay the minus 200? No, but you're home. You got your pitching relatively set up. I mean, Cleveland's throwing Alex Cobb in game 1. They're throwing Bybee. They're throwing Matt Boyd at you. Cleveland doesn't have a lot of pitching. They don't have a ton of offense. If you're the Yankees, you got Judge, you got Soto, and Judge is due for one of these big-time series. He was starting you could get the sense he was starting to heat up when the Royals series ended. He was hitting line drives. He was walking. He was seeing the ball better. His swings were better. Judge is just too good of a hitter to not have a monster series at one of these junctions here at some point in time. Judge is going to break out. Soto didn't do a ton in the first round. I mean, you're due for one of these runs here where Judge and Soto, you know, take turns hitting a home run game after game. The bullpen's been pretty good for the Yankees. The starting pitching's okay. I mean, you kind of hold your breath, but Cole was good. They're going to throw Rodon in game 1 against Cobb. And if you're the Yankees, hey, just win game 1 and don't give the Guardians any reason to believe. You have the better team. You're home. You got home field advantage. And I think the Yankees should and will find a way to win this series. And again, no excuses. Payroll, haven't been there in 15 years. You got a good draw. No Houston, no Baltimore. No excuses. Go win the series if you're the Yankees. So we will discuss that. We will discuss Mets and Dodgers. We'll discuss Jets and Bills. That is next. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. The Dodgers have taken a 1-0 series lead by the final score of 9-0, an appropriate final score, the forfeit score, which is appropriate for how it went. Let's break it all down. Our good friend Jeff Parle, Sports by the Book. Jeff, tough night. Did the magic wear off since Wednesday when the Mets clinched, or was this just a bad night and nothing to worry about here? What's going on?
I wouldn't be. First off, always good to be with you, Will. I wouldn't be worried. I mean, look, it's kind of like the Philly series where we said, get one on the road and you're in great shape. Obviously, they had to win one road game and they're going to have to win one road game in this series. But if you split the first two in Philly, that series is not getting back to Philadelphia. And it did not. Now, this is a little bit different, obviously. It's a longer series. The Dodgers, even though they were the best team in baseball, they have the best player in baseball, they have the best trio at the top of the lineup in baseball. Even with all that, I still think they're a very flawed team. This scoreless streak they're on is absolutely absurd because I don't think their pitching's all that good. But when it's all said and done here, I think the Mets are fine. I think they're fine. You win game two with your best pitcher on the mound, you're totally okay here. And you come home, you take two out of three at home, and then you just have to win one of the last two in LA. Flush it, be okay. I didn't love the way Mendoza used the bullpen. I would have just sacrificed. Look, you're down 3-0. Flaherty was rolling. I would have just gone to McGill and just said, Tyler, just give me as many innings as you can. I wouldn't have wasted Peterson. I wouldn't have wasted Buto in the fashion he did either. But look, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But I think the Mets flush it. I think they win game two. We don't know if the Dodgers are going bullpen game or Walker Buehler at this point. And quite frankly, I don't know which one of those is better for the Dodgers at this point. I think I'd lean strongly to the bullpen side, but who knows? It's hard to get 9 innings worth of guys to pitch in succession well, even though the Dodgers have gotten it over the last 3.5 games now.
Did you make a prediction? Did you have a prediction in your head coming into the series? Who wins in how many games?
I picked the Mets in 6. I'm not backing down. No reason to back down off of one game. If they lose game two, then look, it's tough. If the Dodgers win both games at home, it could be really difficult for the Mets to win 4 out of 5. Is Dodger team, I think they're very flawed. At one point, I said to a good buddy of mine who was a radio guy in St. Louis that the Dodgers were the 7th best team of the 8 teams in the wild card round. But look, they're still really good. They still have a loaded top of the lineup. And look, if you give them extra outs, you walk guys like Senga did at the beginning of the game tonight, you're going to get beat. And you just got beat. It was a bad night all the way around. But there's no reason to believe this Met team. There's no reason to believe this Met team will fall apart. They've been doing this all year. Stuff hits the fan, they just bounce right back like nothing happened. So they should be fine still in this series.
Yeah, games like these are easier to flush. Like he said, you didn't pitch, you didn't hit. You look like you're going to get back in the game. Maybe it's a couple times Marte hits the ball at 2-0. I thought off the bat, maybe it was 3. It was 3-0 off the bat. Yeah. Maybe that's in the gap, maybe more. But that ball died. Winkler, the just ridiculous base running decision. So bad hitting, bad pitching, bad base running. It's one you can kind of flush. It's not like you're up 3 in the 7th and, oh man, you blew the game. You have to scrape yourself off the floor and get ready for the next one. Does it concern you, the layoff? Because I mean, that Wednesday clincher was 5:00 Eastern start. I don't know, 7:30, 8:00. They wrap up the game. That's a long time off. You worry a hot team, the Magic. Do you worry the Magic dries up in this period?
No, not worried. Doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter. And quite frankly, Will, it's an excuse. Just look now. Now the pendulum's going to start flipping, especially with those teams off a break. The Mets were the only team to pull the upset off the team who had a bye. It's not an excuse. You're a Major League Baseball team that has been the best team in baseball record-wise since June 1st. You get off the mat after a bad game one. You win game two. Totally fine, and mission is still accomplished for what you needed to do in Los Angeles, which is split these first two games. If you do that, you should be able to win this series.
Who are you rooting for Friday night, Padres, Dodgers? Did you have a preference or who they played?
I did prefer the Dodgers. I thought San Diego, the Padres melt was really stunning, Will, because I thought they were the most well-balanced team in the whole of the remaining eight that advanced to the division series. High-end pitching, best bullpen, and their lineup is deep. And again, credit to the Dodgers for just shutting them down the last two games in six innings. It was awfully impressive. I prefer the Dodgers. I will say this, Will. Both of those opponents are so good that I knew that regardless, it was going to be a difficult series for the Mets. The one difference with the Phillies was the Phillies, despite that amazing start, were only two games over 500 in their last 98 games. And the Mets know them so well. Like, look, the Mets have owned Trey Turner this year. They know how to get Harper out. They got Schwarber out in giant spots in that series. Obviously, the final at bat. Look, in that Philly series, Will, I know people love ragging on Davey Roberts. Dave Roberts is a totally solid manager. You're not going to be aided by the opposing team's manager. I thought Rob Thompson got every big decision wrong in that series against the Mets, and the Mets took full advantage of all those bad decisions, which is what a good team is supposed to do. I don't think you're going to get those type of things from Roberts in this series. And again, we know the manager doesn't – the manager only means about a game or two in a 162-game season. In the playoffs, a manager does matter. And we saw it in that other series where Mendoza managed circles around Thompson and the Mets won the series because of it.
How about Yankees-Cleveland here? I think there's no excuse for the Yankees not to get through. It's been 15 years. You're dealing with the AL Central Invitational here with the Royals and the Tigers and the Guardians. I would have liked, from a Yankee perspective, to play Detroit with Skubal not lined up to go. That being said, I know Cleveland, they got a great closer. They got a great player in Ramirez. It's a nice little team otherwise, but this is men versus boys in terms of, you know, the payroll, the Judges and the Soros of the world versus the rest of the team. I know it's baseball and anything can happen. I feel like the Yankees have to get through here. What are your thoughts on this series?
Four-game sweep in favor of the Pinstripes, Will.
Wow.
I think this is a complete and utter coronation series. And look, no disrespect to Cleveland. They were the biggest. Look, they were a bigger. The Mets, the way the Mets.
78 went about win total. They're over under for wins was 78.
Yeah. They were the Guardians were the biggest surprise in baseball this year by a significant margin. I guess you could argue Kansas City. Actually,
Milwaukee, too. Milwaukee, Kansas surprise. City, Cleveland.
Milwaukee
yeah.
was a bit. Milwaukee cruising, but. But look, Cleveland's here. Milwaukee isn't. And credit to the Guardians for, look, you're down 2-1 with staring Skubal in the face. You're not supposed to win that series, and Cleveland did. So full marks to the Guardians for winning that series. I mean, hell, they shouldn't have won game. The way game four set up, they were on the way to lose game four until David Fry bailed them out. So credit to Cleveland for getting through, but this is a mismatch. This is a complete and utter mismatch. The only way I see the Yankees blowing this series is if the bats totally get mute, which is always possible. It's playoff baseball. Judge has not had a good postseason so far. It's really been, look, it's, I mean, Glaber had a huge game four. Stanton's been awesome, which, I talked about this with you at Stanton months ago. Giancarlo Stanton is a critical piece to this operation. And the fact that a lot of Yankee fans turned on him because he can't stay healthy. Look, he's barely healthy now, and he's their best player in the division series. So, I really think this is – you mentioned it. You said it. It's been 15 years, which for this franchise is the equivalent to 75 for being in the World Series. I really think they roll them. I think they sweep maybe five. But the Yankees will get to the World Series. And you know what? They should just be hoping that the Mets and the Dodgers just beat the hell out of each other over seven games, because I think the Yankees match up poorly with both National League teams, and their best case scenario is that series goes long and those teams are just gassed by the time they get to the World Series.
Yeah, and if you're the Yankees, it's weird to say. I not from the fan, from the probably from a fan standpoint, from the owner standpoint, maybe not from the players. You're kind of hoping the Dodgers get there because if you play the Dodgers and you lose and whatever, 6-7, you know what? Dodgers have a good team. You're disappointed, but you live with it. At least you got back there. If you ever lost to the Mets, from a fan's perspective, from an owner's perspective, I don't know how they would take that. I really don't.
Oh, I will. I 100% agree with you on that. And I actually think the Mets match up better with the Yankees than the Dodgers do, quite honestly. Just we saw it in the regular season. And look, you can't go too much off of regular season action when it comes to postseason action. But the Yankees did not hit at all against the Mets this year. And the Mets destroyed Cole when they faced him. So, look, I again, if the Yankees get the Dodgers, I think that pricing will be a flip, but the Dodgers are like a $1.20 favorite, probably $1.25, because they have home field. I don't think home field means anything anymore now that both leagues have the DH and we're not dealing with the nonsense of the pitcher having to hit for the American League team. But look, I would pick the Yankees against the Dodgers. I would pick the Yankees. You're right. If the Yankees lost a hard-fought seven-game series, all right, yes, it's majorly disappointing. You get all the way there and lose, but it's like, all right, lost to the team that has the best record in baseball that happened to win the World Series for once. If you lose to the Mets, no one's letting you forget that until you win your next World Series. And they may never, and the Mets fans will never let you forget it. And correctly so, if the Mets beat the Yankees in the World Series.
No doubt about it. Football, kind of a ho-hum day.
Yes.
Not a lot of upsets, not a lot of great finishes. I don't know. Did you have a big takeaway here from this Sunday in NFL action?
Boy, the Aiden Hutchinson injury is
Ooh.
really honest is unfortunately the biggest story of the day, right? Well, I mean, the Lions, who just absolutely obliterated Dallas in every which way in this game. Dallas looked awful on defense. They looked awful on offense. Campbell coached circle and Johnson coached circles around McCarthy and his legion of idiots on that coaching staff at this point. But that Hutchinson injury just look, it's hard to say the wind gets taken out of the sails when you win 47-9, but it kind of feels like it, right? Like you lose the one guy that is elite on that defense. There's no other elite players on that defense other than Aiden Hutchinson. And look, Detroit, look, they get two, they have three games with the NFC South mixed in, but one of them is Houston, which is not, who's not a pushover, obviously. Tennessee and Jacksonville are among two of the five worst teams in the
AFC
NFL at
South,
this
yeah.
point. Yeah. But, and then the NFC, and then you have two NFC North games mixed in here. You go to Minnesota next week with Minnesota fresh and off the bye. That is a brutal spot to go into without Hutchinson. Then you get Green Bay 2 weeks later. This is, boy, I was
Still
ready
have
to
to play
make
the Bills,
the
still have to play
clear.
the 49ers too at San Francisco.
Yeah. Look, I was ready to say, basically say that the Lions, hey, they're the team to beat in the NFL. Forget the NFC. They're the team to beat in the NFL. But that Hutchinson injury really, really looms large because I don't know how they replace him. And that defense that I had plenty of questions about, even though they played great today, I don't know how they hold up long term without a player like that and without any real replacement for Aiden Hutchinson at this point.
Do you have a feel for the NFL in terms of these sides? I can't, man. I'm just it's the old Sam Darnold. I'm
Well,
seeing ghosts. Every team I think about betting that I don't covers every time I jump on a team, I just I don't know, small sample or whatever, but man, it's been tough.
I
Do
will
you have a
tell
good
you,
feel
Will,
or no?
I at least got my biggest bet of the day right on Sunday, which was the Packers who annihilated Arizona.
Yeah.
So at least got that. I mean, losing the Giants on Sunday night was ridiculous. I hellacious. Chase, all Chase Brown, all they have to do is tackle Chase Brown when he gets the first down and we win. Plus four, plus three and a half,
And they
plus
weren't going to
whatever
kick the
number you
field goal
want.
too, because they had second and three after that weird fumble, which I mean, of course they couldn't recover the fumble. I mean, they were just going to run three plays and either get the first down or turn it over on downs. And the only
Yeah,
way to
exactly. They
it was
weren't
either going to be
kicking
a
at that
penalty
point.
where you end up kicking the field goal or bust it for a touchdown. Just
Yeah,
ridiculous.
it just brutal more than anything. And yeah, look, this has been a bizarro year in the NFL because we talked about it just before we started recording this. The dogs were amazing And now the pendulum is flipped in epic fashion where a dog can't, where it's almost impossible for a dog to cover right now. It's just kind of crazy. And I mean, look, the public had the day, had a day to remember on Sunday. I can tell you right now, for next week, and this might even start on Monday night, I would be ready to just pounce on underdogs, because this is going to fling back the other direction at some point. And more likely than not, it flings back the other direction starting on week 7. And you know what, Will? I think it's starting on Monday night, quite frankly.
Let's get to it. Jets-Bills. Bills laying a point now. Salah is let go. Haven't talked to you since that. Big game where either, you know what, you're 2-4 and your season is basically on life support, or you win and you're in first place. What happens, and what were your thoughts on changing the coach here?
I thought it was the right move. And quite frankly, Will, it is just a testament to how poor the Jets ownership is and the front office and everyone in the decision making. It's all on them that this even was allowed to happen. I know Aaron Rodgers got hurt 4 plays in. I know that Rodgers and Salah's relationship was fine last year. Apparently, we know Hackett is Rodgers' guy. Like, we know that. But the way last year transpired, and the fact that once Rodgers went down and Hackett orchestrated whatever you want to call that last year, it was inexcusable that he was allowed to be the play caller going into this year. And in the end, it ended up killing Robert Saleh's career as Jets head coach, was not getting in an actual play caller to replace Hackett. And look, the Jets are flawed. They're so stupid. The penalties, look, the New England game masked it, because New England was so bad in that game. It didn't matter. The Jets committed 9 penalties in that game. The Jets might would have just won 34-3 as opposed to 24-3 if they didn't commit all those penalties. But the only way you lose to that version of the Broncos is when you do what they did that game. And quite frankly, the reason they lost the Minnesota game, even more so than Rodgers having an awful game, was the Jets just kept committing defensive penalties and they didn't adjust to the officiating crew in that game, Will. You got to adjust. Justin Jefferson was getting a Michael Jordan-like whistle in that game. You have to adjust, and they did not adjust, and it cost them 10 points in that game. Look, Buffalo's reeling too. Let's not forget that here, Will. Buffalo's coming off getting embarrassed by Baltimore 2 weeks ago, and in the last week, Sean McDermott had one of the worst end-of-game things ever, basically. It was inexcusable what they did at the end on that last possession, where at a bare minimum, run Josh Allen 3 times in a row, make Houston take all their timeouts. And you know what? If they dunk a 60-yard field goal on your head at that point, all right, so be it. Houston deserves to win. But you let them keep all their timeouts. Let them have a play in the middle of the field, and then they dunk the 60-yard field goal on your head. That's on you. And look, Buffalo's not 100% healthy. I don't think Allen's healthy either, because he did not play well against Baltimore. He was beyond awful against Houston. And look, for the Jet defense, and I will say this, and look, I don't know how the head coach difference is going to make a difference or not. We know historically it does, about 58% over the last 12 years. But the Jets have played Buffalo great at MetLife the last 2 years. They beat them 2 years ago with Zach – they beat him 2 years ago with Zach Wilson the whole game. And then they beat him in the Rodgers injury game last year. And Allen has 7 turnovers in those 2 games. So the Jets really have Allen's number in that stadium. And I think it continues. I think the Jets win this game. I think Rodgers plays well enough. I think going from Hackett to Downing helps the offense enough. And I think 24 points gets this done, Will. You get to 24, you win. That's the magic number so far for the Jets this year. The 2 games they got to 24, they're 2-0. So you get to 24, you win. I think the Jets get there. I like New York outright as a small underdog, and I think this is going to start an underdog barrage that really comes into fruition in week 7.
So you like Yankees, you like Mets, and you like Jets, right? And all New York moneyline parlay tomorrow.
I guess we're going to New York parlay. The Liberty don't play on Monday. They already won on Sunday. That was the only thing to go right for New York on Sunday. Yeah, I guess I do like the New York parlay there, Will, for
New
game
York
one.
parlay
Game
61.
one of the Yankees, game two of the Mets, and then game six with the Jets.
That's a boy, it's a hell of a day. I mean, 4 o'clock Eastern, Mets, 4:08 Eastern Mets, 7:30 Eastern Yankees, 8:15 Eastern Jets. That is you better have the remote control ready. You better have multiple TVs. That's about as good as it gets.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. I get totally hosed on the timing for that Met game, though. My show starts at 3 Pacific. It could be right in the nitty-gritty time, my friend.
Ooh.
So I'm in no man's land. My co-host Ryan McCormick's really going to have to bail me out on Monday on Sports by the Book.
How long is your show?
And only an hour. So if we get a long game, I'll get the end of it. But, boy, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle Diaz with a two-run lead in the ninth inning while on the air. That's going to be excruciating, my
You'd
friend.
Sign up for a two-run lead with Diaz on the mound. Regardless of where, you could be on the moon.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely, Will. If the Mets have a 4-2 lead with Diaz going into the ninth inning, I'm all in, 100%. Just we'll be relying on others to get through there, Will.
Last one, anything for next week in the NFL jump out to you?
Oh, okay. I'll just say this, just looking at this week, because obviously Kansas City and San Francisco is the mega game. And, you know, I thought the Niners played great on Thursday night.
They did.
I know it got close. I know they messed around in the middle of the game, but Purdy was comfortable. That defense was forcing mistakes from an offense for really the first time since week one. I thought the Niners looked great. And Kansas City, look, San Francisco's 1-1.5, depending on where you look right now. I think San Francisco rolls them, Will. Revenge for the Super Bowl as well. Kansas City's offense just has not looked that good. I think that San Francisco, it's going to be the most bet game of the week, obviously. Super Bowl rematch in a premium afternoon slot. I think San Francisco beats them, and I think San Francisco beats them handily. That's at least early on in the week. And that's what at least stands out here a week before these games get rolling in week seven. And, of course, that goes against me saying that it's going to be an underdog barrage. But who knows? Kansas City might actually end up going off favored in that game. It would not shock me if that flips to go KC one by the time that game starts.
Yeah, and if you're San Francisco and if you beat them this week, man – where was this in 2019? Where was this last year? It's almost kind of a bittersweet to actually beat them in this one where it's not for a championship.
Yeah, and I will say this, just eyeballing other stuff. I know you won't like this, but the fact that Minnesota is favored over Detroit, even with the Hutchinson injury, that seems kind of crazy to me. I think that should be a pick. Maybe even Detroit won.
It's a nice teaser leg. Detroit's a nice teaser leg.
Yeah, if Minnesota busts up the teaser, like, then we have a different discussion with Minnesota moving forward. Well, if they beat Detroit by double digits, that's a hell of a win any way you slice it.
And if Minnesota does win, I mean, that's a 2+ game lead on everybody, because that'd be two with a tiebreaker on Detroit. They already have two with a tiebreaker with Green Bay. They've got three with a tiebreaker on San Francisco. I mean, they got games against the Falcons, Titans, Jags. Not that Falcons are terrible, but Arizona. I mean, it's hard to believe. It's hard to actually think of them this way. But if they can win this one, I mean, you're talking about probably a 13 or so win team conservatively, because they're not going to be underdogs in a lot of these games.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's stacking wins early in the season against teams you were not expected to beat going into the year. I mean, it goes a long way, right? I mean, going into the year, what they were dog against San Francisco, won that. They were
even a
dog
pick up
against
the Giants. It's not like they were a big favorite.
They were one, but because a 1.5-point favorite against the Giants week one, which in retrospect is hilarious. But we usually get a few of those every year in the NFL early in the year. But look, for Minnesota, if they win this game, Will, you are 100% right. 13-4 is in play in that spot. And it's going to be, again, I go back to what I said earlier with the Lions. It is going to be really hard with that schedule, without your best player on defense, to get more than probably 12, regardless of how good they've looked. 12-5 is probably the absolute peak Detroit can go without Aiden Hutchinson at this point. I'm really concerned about, I know it may sound crazy to some, and somebody say I'm just overreacting, but Detroit legitimately was going as that game was going. I was going through my power rankings for next week because I usually do that in the afternoon, especially when no one on Sunday night is going to be involved in my top 10, with Cincinnati and the Giants, obviously neither of them were going to be. I had already moved Detroit to number one and then moved them back to number two after Hutchinson broke his leg. Like, that's how big of a deal it is for Detroit. And Minnesota, look, that's not a good matchup for right out of the gate with not having Hutchinson. That offense right out of the gate, that is a tricky defend for anyone at this point, Will.
Jeff, appreciate the time, man. Good luck tomorrow. Hopefully we'll talk, I don't know, we'll talk in a little bit about a Subway Series maybe in a week or two, or a game 7 of the NLCS. We'll see how it goes, but appreciate the time, man. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Of course, at Jeff Parles on the tweet, Sports by the Book, 1 hour before kickoff on Saturday and Sunday, and then 6 o'clock Eastern time Monday, Thursday, 5 o'clock Eastern time on Friday, which, again, game 5 of the NLCS will be going right at the start of that show, which is not great, but whatever, we'll deal with it. But that's where you can find me. Sports by the Book on YouTube is the place to watch the show.
All right, appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks.
Of course, Will.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you to Jeff Parles. Enjoy what is a great Monday of sports, football, baseball, playoffs, just a lot of fun. We'll be back Wednesday. Rate, review, subscribe. See you then.